It's been said that perhaps only the Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potter books have more fanatical fans than the partisans of Patrick O'Brien's tales of 19th century nautical combat. These books have been brought to the screen, and Morning Edition movie critic Kenneth Turan has this report from the front.
If some are born to command, Russell Crowe is born to play commanders. And to see Crowe as Captain Jack Aubrey in Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, is to see a consummate performer at the top of his game.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England.
Crowe's captain has an unflappable self-confidence, whether he's peering through a spyglass or barking orders. Ease is a great thing in an actor, and Crowe's got it. His self-confidence makes you believe he could sink a battleship all by himself, and his performance shows just how much physical presence can accomplish. Crowe is the rare heroic actor who can handle psychologically complex roles, but he's not called on to do it here. Master and Commander succeeds despite a lack of noticeable emotional involvement. Instead, it does what it knows how to do best. Battle. It recreates an extended nautical duel between Aubrey's HMS Surprise and a French privateer. Veteran Australian director Peter Weir has gone to extraordinary lengths to capture on film the enticingly detailed world that author Patrick O'Brien committed to the printed page. Buttons were made from a button caster who's been in business since the 1770s. Shoes were based on an 1806 design, and Monmouth knit hats were made by a Welsh woman whose family has been making them since the 1700s. This may sound fanatical to the point of derangement, but it has an unmistakable cumulative impact.
12 knots, sir!
That's 12 knots. That's good. I want more. Have all the spare hands placed on the windward rail.
Most surprising of all, Master and Commander delivers this degree of authenticity despite being largely shot not at sea, but in the same tank in Mexico where James Cameron sank the Titanic. This use of computer imagery to mimic reality is as impressive as special effects work gets.
We're closing on it, Tom. I'll not give up now. Come up on the wind, Barrett.
That success points up a drawback. Master and Commander tries to develop a personal story between the captain and his good friend, the ship's surgeon, but doesn't pull it off.
You're not accustomed to defeat. And chasing this larger, faster ship with its long guns is beginning to smack of pride.
Question of pride or anything like. It's a question of duty.
Duty? Right, yes, I believe I've heard it well spoken of.
Well, you can be as satiric as you like. Viewing the world through your microscope is your prerogative. This is a ship of war, and I will grind whatever grist the mill requires in order to fulfill my duty.
Whatever the cost?
Whatever the cost.
The question of whether the captain is disregarding the welfare of his crew is not as convincing as the visuals. And Russell Crowe is too heroic to possibly be wrong. While power might corrupt lesser men, there's not a chance here. So if you miss the days when Errol Flynn swashed till he buckled in Captain Blood, you can't do much better than this.
The comments of Kenneth Turan, a movie critic for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times.